Joining the Army came as a surprise to most of the people in my life. It was never something I dreamed of or even talked much about, and, if you ask my friends and family, something that I didn't seem particularly suited to. I remember arriving by bus in the middle of a quiet, cold January night at Fort Jackson in South Carolina. We were met immediately by the booming voice of a drill sergeant who was ushering us in a single line into a large, sterile cafeteria-like space where my personal items were collected into a giant pile in the middle of the room. I was now a part of a finely tuned and disciplined machine to be broken down and built back up again. Our entire lives now fit into an olive green duffel bag, the same bag I would throw over my back dozens of times over the next few weeks, and the same bag whose weight combined with my sloppy technique would be the reason I would eventually have to leave. I spent the rest of my time on the base in pain. A muscle spasm forced me into a kind of permanent hunched over position. I was easy to spot in every line I was a part of. I spent my time lying on the bottom bunk of my bed, attempting to get better using sheer will. I remember during one of those quiet afternoons when I was woken up by a young kid, I say kid because he could have been older than 18, he told me that he didn't want to be there. "I don't want to go to war," he said, "because I know it'll change me, and I like who I am." I didn't know how to help. Even if I did, I wasn't exactly in the best position to. I just remember waking up the next day and noticing his absence and asking where he had gone. I don't think he told anyone else what he told me. I still think about him sometimes, too. I hope everything turned out okay. It was around this time that I was moved into another barracks building. I was now living with 10 or so other young guys who were also unable or unwilling to go on. All of our enlistments were thrown into question, undocumented health struggles and, like me, physical injuries. I was allowed a notebook, though, which I still have. Remnants of torn pages along the spine where my fellow holdovers and I, in situations where talking was forbidden, would pass letters we wrote to each other. Reality set in for many of us that while we may have been broken down, there was a good chance we weren't going to be allowed to stay long enough to be rebuilt. I left Fort Jackson unceremoniously, 2 months after arriving. I didn't get the chance to say goodbye to the friends I had. I was given a one-way ticket back to Philadelphia. With me, a stack of papers and a folder, the same color green as the duffel bag. The top page read my name. "Separated," it said. That's what I was, and that's how I felt. Grieving all the experiences I would never have, and all the moments that would have tested me to see what I was really made of. I don't talk about my Army experience much, and when I am asked if I consider myself a veteran, my answer is no. There was no service rendered, and I would feel like a fraud for insisting otherwise. I found myself, after much wandering, in a part-time position as a substitute teacher in several Philadelphia public high schools. It was the first time since the Army that I had been surrounded by young people, many of whom were the same age as the young man who had confided in me back on the base. I began to see that regardless of how different I was to them, they wanted the same thing that pushed me to enlist in the first place. They wanted to be as close as they could to something bigger than themselves. So when I think about the moment I felt the most American, it's less a singular point in time and more a summation of all the crossroads. You have to choose to believe that America can still be a place where things are still possible. That starting over is okay. That there is more than one way to serve. I find myself grateful for my experience with the Army. It pushed me forward, even though it wasn't the way I hoped. But we don't always get a say in the direction we go in. I still have the letters, too, that my fellow holdovers and I wrote to each other. And sometimes, when I'm feeling separated, I'll take them out and I'll read them again. My name is Connor Dobson, and this is The Time I Felt American.